in the book, Song of Invitation will be number 344.
Again, it's good to see everybody out. Hope that everybody is doing well. Always good to be able to come and study. I ask that everybody open up their Bibles, follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. As you can see, I brought out a cloth sermon. Supposedly, I would presume from a brother named J.C. Rohde. Got him from Casey's grandmother, whose husband, Casey's grandpa, used to preach also. So it could be his, but I'm told that he didn't do a whole lot of cloth sermons, so it was probably the other guys. Decided to go ahead and bring one out and use it and try to see if I can't make what he has up there flow in my own way. So as long as it's presenting the Word of God, that is what matters. And so that's what we're going to do. Again, I go back and I try to use what he has used, and then I did put him into another projector form. I'm happy that I do have the projector, though. That's enough work in trying to make sure that it all looks good and works together, let alone I don't have to draw, write out things with my handwriting, and try to make things readable and in that way. So, today's lesson is going to be, I've titled it, A Mind Like Christ. As you read through and you look at the chart that was drawn here and put together, I believe he's going with, let this mind be in you. And then speaking of Christ here, Christ, he loved truth, wisdom, unity, peace, and the church exalted. He has on the sides there, mindful of his fellow men. And then at the very bottom, his mind is that souls be saved. And so I believe he's going off of Philippians chapter 2. If you want to open up your Bible, Philippians chapter 2. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5 here. Philippians chapter 2, and starting with verse 1. It says, so there is in any encouragement, if there is any encouragement in Christ, and any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only on his own interest, but also the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And so as you read these verses here, it's telling us to have a certain mindset, to set their minds on things above, set our minds not on selfish ambitions, but to focus on what we can do for others. And he ends it there in verse 5 into the point of looking at Christ and seeing the life that he lived and what he taught and how he acted. Let us be like Christ. Let us strive to have a mind like Christ. And so that's what I titled today's lesson, is a mind like Christ. And go forth and look at a few things that we can see through his word, through what he had taught, and had the apostles go out and teach, and having a mind like our Lord. And so the first thing I want to point out is the truth. Jesus, of course, going forth and teaching the truth. Jesus is the truth. And we see that as we turn to John. John chapter 8, if you will. John chapter 8 and looking at verse 31. John chapter 8 and looking at verses 31 and 32. And so verse 31 here reads, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And how important the truth is. So many get caught up and just willing to do anything, willing to go along with any direction, willing to do, everybody wants to say, you go your way, I go my way, and we'll all end up in heaven. And that's not what the Word of God says here. The Word of God tells us the truth is what will set you free. Not you go your way, I go my way, and they'll go another way. It says the truth. Verse 31, going forth and telling us,
As we often quote a different spot, and Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's pretty much what is being said here in verse 31, is that if we really want to be disciples of the Lord, in verse 31 it says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you are a follower of Christ and you truly want to have a mindset of Christ, then we have to go to the Word. We have to be willing to open it up and to study and to search the Scriptures, because that is where the truth lies. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. And it is only through Him in which we can find it and be set free. In John chapter 17, verses 17 through 20. John chapter 17, verses 17 through 20. Here Jesus praying for his apostles and disciples at that time, praying for us today. And we're going to come back to John 17 later on in the lesson again. But right now, let's look at verses 17 through 20. It says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As Jesus is praying here, he's praying to the Father up above, praying for his disciples, praying for those who he sends out. It says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And if for their sake I consecrate you myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So again, making that point that he's praying for his apostles then, his disciples that he's sending out. And then he says, but not alone, not these alone that you blessed me with now, but for all who will hear them. Sanctify them in the truth. Let them be grounded firm in the truth, in the word of God. Why? It's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we are going to listen and want to find the truth, and we want to find a way to heaven, and we want to get there, then you have to be willing to search the Scriptures. Again, so many times throughout the word of God, so many times as you go through Psalms, so many times as you go throughout the gospel, how many times you hear it says, he who has an ear, let him hear. How many times throughout the Word of God it says that we need to be willing to listen and search the Scriptures. But if we're not asking the right questions, if we're not seeking for the truth, if we're not knocking at the Lord's door, then the door will not be open. We will not find what it is we're truly searching for the truth that can set us free. And so we have to be willing to open up our Bibles. The mindset that our Lord and Savior had, that Jesus had, and that He wants us to have, is to walk in the path of God. And that is in the truth that He has blessed us with. And that means we have to have the wisdom of God. We have to go to God and have good wisdom. Because as we're out in this world and we are fighting the good fight, and we know that there are false teachers out there, and we know we have to walk in wisdom. You turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. It reads here, it says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Again, why do we have to be wise? Because we're going out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And a sheep does not win a battle against the wolves without a shepherd. The shepherd's the one that's going to protect them. The shepherd's the one that's going to guide them. The shepherd's the one that's going to go fight for them. The sheep can't do it. And so as sheep are being sent out, what's he tell us to do? He says, so be wise as serpents, and innocent as doves. It doesn't say be as deadly as serpents. It says be as wise as serpents. How they blend in, how they are smart, how they get into tight spots. They're able to go places other things can't make it to. They find the cracks in the buildings and they find their way into it. Serpents. It says be wise as serpents. Because we are being sent out as sheep among the wolves. We have to be wise. And there's a false wisdom out there. There is a wisdom that man thinks is better than all others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, as you go through 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you read the beginning of it. And of course, Paul has to get on to them. You know, because they're divided among each other. Saying, I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. I'm Cephas. They're all saying. And he says, guys, Christ is the only one that's died for. It is only, again, the truth is only through Christ can you be saved. Not through Paul, not through Apollos, not through Cephas, not through anyone else, but only through Christ. And so you read here and you pick up in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, it says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will throw out." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debtor of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And you can read throughout the rest of the chapter there, continuing on that point, that we have to be willing to go to the wisdom that God has given to us. Not the wisdom of men, not to go forth and put men above God and think that we are smarter, but understand the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Again, go back to the story of Jonah. Jonah had his mindset of what should happen, right, to Nineveh. He said, this is how they should take place. You should punish them. And I knew God, if I went and warned them and they turned, you would forgive them. In his mind, that was folly. That was foolishness. They didn't deserve it. That's the wisdom of men versus the wisdom of God. Wisdom of men try to tell us that we go different directions. Wisdom of men try to tell us you can do what you want to do. That you don't have to follow all the commands that God has given us. That you can add to it. But that will lead us to a path of destruction. If we need wisdom, we need to turn to God. In James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1 and in verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If you lack wisdom, go to God. If you need guidance, go to God. If we are struggling with situations, we're trying to figure out what we should do, what decision we should make, pray to God. And as you pray, then get up and go search His Scripture. Search the Word of God. Go to your brethren in Christ and help each other find God's answer through His Word. He's guiding us through it. Because 2 Timothy 3:16-17 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. So if there's something we're struggling with, God has given us answers. If we're willing to seek it out. In James chapter 3 and verse 17. James chapter 3 and verse 17 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Wisdom of God is great. If we truly are looking for answers, that's where we need to go. We need to open up our Bibles and search the Scriptures. If we need answers, we're looking to gain some wisdom, understanding, search the Word of God. Study it. We can't just start opening it and start reading through it and not take the time to look at what it's trying to say. Look at it and do a detailed study. Be diligent to prove yourselves unto God at work. Another thing that's brought out here in James chapter 3 and verse 17 is that the wisdom is pure, first pure, then peaceable. And so the next point I want to bring out is the peace. The mindset that Christ is willing to give to us that He had upon this earth is peace. Peace in mind. Again, so often we think about peace and people in the world, you know, pray for world peace. Again, I wish it was possible. It's not going to happen. As long as there are those who are willing to stand up for the truth and go teach the Word of God, Jesus, time and again, and through the Word of God, time and again, tells us we'll have trials and tribulations because they do not want to receive the truth. Jesus said, the world hated me first, therefore it's going to hate you also. Again, we're not wiser than Christ and can do it a better way than He did. And so therefore we're not greater than our Master, and they will hate us also. World peace is not what he's talking about here, but peace in mind, peace in our hearts, knowing that you have a home in heaven, knowing that God loves you, knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that you have unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That should give us peace. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, John chapter 16 and in verse 33, here it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Again, here he says, you will have tribulation, but then he just says, I give you peace. He has overcome the world. He has died, he dies and he resurrects. He is there to give us. Once we understand, you come to knowledge and understanding of what sin is and what sin does. That the price of sin is death. And that without the sacrifice of Christ, without going to Him and seeking His forgiveness, allowing the blood of Christ to wash your sins away as you are immersed in the water through your faith, being raised up as the resurrection of Christ, and of being saved. Before that moment, when you know what sin is, fear. I remember the day greatly when I obeyed God. So I remember being scared. But there was peace. Knowing that on the way home, anything happens, that you are saved and right with God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 17, as it reads here, it says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Again, it's for all. It's for everybody. He didn't just bring it to the Jews only. He didn't bring it just to the Gentiles since the Jews rejected him. But when he sent out his disciples, he said, go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or you go to Mark to preach to all creatures, to all the world. Preach that. The peace that the Lord preaches is for all. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 15. It says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Again, it's the peace of Christ. It's not setting yourself apart from everybody else and say, I care about myself. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm in peace with myself. I don't. But it says peace in Christ. Through His Word, through His wisdom. Have peace through the Lord. Again, don't get caught up in false guidance. False happiness. But peace through Christ, as we are added to the Lord's body, as we are part of the Lord's church. Again, bringing us to that next point, the unity that we should have, the one body that we are. That we work together and that we should have peace amongst one another. In John chapter 13 and verse 34. John chapter 13 and in verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Again, the love that we should have for each other is what should put us together in the unity that we have. Should push us to strive to learn what it is our brothers and sisters in Christ are thinking and what they are going through and seeing how we can help each other grow. Because we have so much love for each other. We love them as ourselves. We love them. We want them to get to heaven. Just as much as you want to get to heaven yourself. As much as you want your child to get to heaven. We love each
brother and sister in Christ, and we desire that they get to heaven. That's why we're willing to practice church discipline. That's why we're willing to rebuke one another. That's why we're willing to come and study with each other.
Because we love one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, again bringing out that it is the unity that we should have, that we should walk together, that we should be added to one church and not just go different directions. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience and bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to be one hope belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. One. As you go through it, there's only one Lord that died, one Father up above that sin, and one Spirit that was sent after the Lord, one teaching that the Spirit had given to the apostles and to the prophets to go forth and write and to teach. And as they went and taught, there was only one baptism into Christ for the remission of sin. There's only one. One faith. And so we have to come in unity. Again, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read those verses beforehand. How Paul said, I desire that you guys be one-minded in Christ, in the Lord. And come to unity in the Word of God. In John chapter 17, I told you we'd come back to that. John chapter 17, the main focus that Jesus prayed during all this is that they continue to be one, that they be united. In John 17, verse 21, we left off in verse 20. So verse 21 says, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That we be so united together that through studying the Word of God, by searching the Scriptures, that we become one with each other. That we become one with Christ. We have one mindset with Him. That we do as He has commanded us to do, and what He has commanded us to do is according to the will of the Father. And we all become one together in that way. Following our Lord and Savior. Striving to get to heaven so that we can all be with each other. Last point he has upon this chart here is that the church be exalted, that we be held at that high standard. And as we are exalted, we exalt our God. We praise Him in all things that we do. You go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. In Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 21. It says, to Him be glory, to God be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord our God be exalted. May He receive the glory. And as we come together, we push each other. As we sing songs, we sing to teach and admonish one another, lifting up each other. So you go to Hebrews, why do we come together? To stir up love and good works, to praise God, to give thanks for the sacrifice of Christ, to remember what He has done for us. Why do we give? It's so that we can go out and spread the Word of God. And so we need to be united in a mind like Christ. To have a mind to help one another get to heaven. A mind to go forth and speak the truth, the wisdom that God has blessed us with. Preaching the only true peace we can have is in the Lord. And as we do that, we should come together in unity and continue to praise God and help each other. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning to any who need to obey the gospel. We always want to do that. We always want to make sure that everybody knows that the opportunity, of course, is not just for this morning or for this evening, but it's God's invitation 24/7, 7 days a week, all year long. As long as life continues and it's not the end of time, you have the opportunity to study the Word of God, to hear the truth. And as you study, come to faith and believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And once you understand and you believe and you take action, you repent of your sins, you confess your faith, and be baptized, washing your sins away. If you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, need prayer as a congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand in the sanctuary.